you know, about how they can see we could do it better. So that's to say, we're often been told that we're dinosaurs. So you know, obviously we talk about that. Here's a cartoon that you can't read. And on the bottom says, the picture's pretty bleak, gentlemen. The world's climates are changing, the mammals are taking over, and all we have is a brain about the size of a walnut. So that's how we feel sometimes. Now I actually haven't managed to get an internet connection yet, so that blue link there won't go anywhere, so I won't press it. But probably most people have seen the upload, or at least a lot of people in the room have seen the upload page. Anyway, it's nothing special. As it stands now, most contributors send stuff to us over a web form. You just fill out a couple things, and it has a button at the bottom that says send your file, so you do. What happens next is that the upload sends an email to the three of us, myself, Rainier Schupf, or Robin Fairbairns, and there's a couple other people on the list, but I don't know how much they read it. And then the three of us, it's a little bit peculiar. The three of us can't respond, or at least traditionally don't respond to the email. In fact, what happens is we're actually three different sites. So whosever site you happen to have uploaded to will do the installation. So if I'm away somewhere, like San Diego, then stuff that people upload to me gets ignored for, in this case, a couple of days. So that seems funny. Specifically, what handling the upload means is that you have to unpack what the folks sent you. They usually send you a .zip or a .tar, .gz. I call those a bundle. You have to check details like license and where the person proposes to put it, and you sometimes, maybe a half or a third of the time, have to get into a kind of a wrangle. You know, you have to write back to the author and say, I don't understand what you meant by that, or I don't think your location is right. And sometimes you have to make some technical details that are even more boring than the rest of the talk, so I won't go into them. And then finally, the magic thing that happens is Rainier has written a script. You call that script that puts the material into the archives, and then triggers the mirroring. It's a very strange system. You don't push the material out to the other sites. Instead, you tell them to come and pull it from you. So very, very peculiar. Very peculiar system, and it I think at least suggests a little bit the flavor of the whole process, which is that it's a little bit, it's writing script, it has historically been scripts that are written that make use of some readily available system. They're not dumb or anything, but when you look at them kind of in the light of day, they don't look all that right. So it's kludgy, basically. So after installation, then there's more to do. In other words, when you install a package, it doesn't happen. What needs to happen doesn't happen at the same time as the installation of the package. Instead, for example, the material such as an author's name, a copyright, all that kind of stuff, gets put into the database, the catalog. XML files, gets put into the database sometime later, usually by Robin, and usually within 24 hours, but anyway, sometime later. And then finally, the distributions have to take that material and package it into a format for end users. I'll talk about that a little bit more lately, but that happens, I don't know, Carl, how long would it take for a typical package to get packaged?
5 minutes.
Well, how long would it take from the time I install it for the package to get packaged?
A week to a month to 6 months.
Yeah, so some significant time lag until a person who doesn't want to know anything about installing the files has it appear in a format that they can just use. So that also doesn't seem right. But you know, we're not dopey dinosaurs. Our brains are a little bit bigger than the size of the walnut, or at least Robin and Rainier's are. The method that we use has some advantages. In particular, I wonder if many folks in the room haven't gone to, say, SourceForge, and you find, oh, that's exactly what I need, oh, thank goodness. And you suck it down and you try to use it, and it just isn't there. There's no documentation, or the files can't possibly compile or some such thing. So having people who check these things and having people who look these things over at least guarantees that there's some kind of standard that it could conceivably work, as opposed to a lot of the stuff that at least I've gotten in the past. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bad stuff with the system the way we do it now. In particular, the thing that bugs me the most is that many of the steps are done by hand. And have to be done by, in fact, the individual maintainer at one of the three sites. The by hand especially bothers me because, unlike my two co-workers, I make a lot of mistakes. I'm pretty dopey. And it's very embarrassing to have to tell people, that you did it all wrong, and this is about the 20th time you did it all wrong that way. So Robin lets you know that you shouldn't have done that. So. An example of a step that's done by hand by the maintainers is that really the information about the upload has to be processed by hand by Robin, the way it stands now, for all practical purposes. So he has to type that in. So I don't know how much time he spends a day doing that. Got to be a couple hours a day. The part that's especially dangerous is that if somebody said to me, for example, I'm on the west coast of the U.S. and I used tech to write my book and I was really impressed and I'd like to help out, could I be one of the installers? I'd have to say to them, yeah, we'd love to have help, but you have to be willing to administer a Unix system that's exposed to the internet. And if somebody sends an email, like I've been sent emails, saying, okay, so your mailing system is an open relay. Then you have to be willing to spend a day figuring out what that is and how to fix it. Which, I don't have a day. And lastly, an example of another thing that bothers me about the whole process is what Carl was just talking about. At the time the package is announced, it would be right in some system, that is, if we were being paid to do this, it would be right if users could read the announcement, say on Usenet, and then say, yeah, I want that, and just press the button and it appears on their machine. That would be the right way to do it. Or if it's an upgrade, I want to upgrade that. That would be the right way to do it. So Dante was kind enough to sponsor a couple of meetings with some CTAM related folks and to discuss some possible plans. And one thing about those meetings, I've sometimes heard a person or two say that noticeably absent were kind of a focus group, kind of end users type of people. That's true. It says, gentlemen, let us pool our expertise. And of course, everybody around the room looks exactly the same. So their expertise is all, it's not like they have eight people, they really only have one, repeated eight times. But nonetheless, folks put a lot of work into it. There was a lot of brainstorming. It says, geez, you're the worst focus group I've ever seen because they're all out of focus. And in particular, people came up with, some good, very good ideas for ways forward. And some of them have appeared in the interim, but a lot of them, especially the ones involved with CTAN, haven't. And then the reason for that is that because the development has been being done by me, so very slow and very confused. And it says eventually Stevie looked up, his mother was nowhere in sight, and this was certainly no longer the toy department. That's how I am when I do programming. I'm in a tremendous forest of mysterious technologies that seem to change overnight from one to another. So I'm just carrying my toy truck. So maybe the decision or decision by default to have me do the development might have been the real core mistake, and especially since most of the work is internet programming, and unfortunately my understanding the internet is a lot like Ted Stevens. I think that it's just a bunch of tubes, and then you talk into one end and out the other end people hear you. That's my idea of you push things into a web page and then it appears on the user's box. And that's just like there's me, I'm down there barking, and there are end users over there scratching their head over what I could possibly have meant by that. Okay, so I want to demonstrate what's the proposed. Hey, Blue. I want to demonstrate what's the proposed new system, and unfortunately I don't have an internet connection. So, oops, what happened? Don't have an internet connection. So it says you'll be going on a long walk. So I'm going to instead do it on the local machine, and I apologize. This is one of those things that could fail at any point. So I know being warned that something could fail makes you feel much better when it does fail. I know that's true. So in particular, the software is currently experimental. But experimental doesn't mean that I have written down flowchart on a piece of paper. It means I have code that code that doesn't work. So let me demo the code that doesn't work. Okay, so new panel. Come on. Bring up a browser. Another thing that happened to me was that my mouse broke, so I have to use this little pad. This little pad reminds me of golf because, you know, it's uniquely unsuited to the purpose to which I try to put it. So let's see. Okay, so here's the new upload page. It looks a lot like the old upload page. Oh, damn it. Come on. And make it smaller. Better?
There you go.
Yes. Well, things will go bad soon, I bet you.
So optimistic.
Okay, one thing that's different is all the way down at the bottom of the page, you can't read it, but it says choose whether your upload updates an existing package or is an entirely new package. And that may seem like a small point, but actually it was kind of hard. I'll start with existing package. Here's a list of all the existing packages. And I always use the same one for testing, so I'd better use it for demonstration. Let's see, where is it here? There we go. A package I wrote a long time ago, Shade Theorem. And nobody ever uses it, so if I break it, nobody will complain. The advantage.
You won't make it to the distribution anyway.
Right. The advantage of using it for testing. And right off, first improvement is that you see when you're uploading an update that the old material is there. Now, it's incorrectly formatted. It's four spaces, but it's there. Okay, so in particular, when we make an announcement sort of thing, all authors have to do is edit what already exists. And you can write something down here like, hurry up, you guys, or whatever kind of stuff. And then here comes the really hard part. And then I gotta upload a file. Okay, so I knew this would be hard. I have a file that I use for this purpose, and you have to watch me click through it? Come on. No, I don't want you to go there. There we go. You can never have too many subdirectories. See, Dick, that was your problem. You have really the wrong attitude. Now it went away, okay? There we go. Hey. I don't know why it's doing that.
You don't want to browse, you want to
see it. Oh, quite right. Sorry, I lost my head there. Fortunately, it's only the size of a walnut. Okay, so then you contribute. All right, it worked. Must be some mistake. So this doesn't say anything, just contains the information that I just uploaded. The new uploads will have more information available if people want to use it. So I'll do a new upload. Okay. You can check down here. I don't know why I'm pointing at it. You can't see my finger. But you can check down there and see that it's not an already used name. And this is actually kind of tricky. And again, a lot of these things, they turn out to be a lot deeper than you think at first glance. So name, for example. Name is a lot trickier than you think. So just as an example, you can't separate names with commas, because what if somebody's last name has a comma junior on it? What if somebody belongs to a culture where they put their family name first, and so you should alphabetize on what comes first? All this kind of stuff. You know, what if somebody's name is De La Hoya or something? It's tough to split into first and last names. So all this stuff, you'd be surprised, a lot harder than it looks. Me and Fred, we work together on this package all the time. Kind of stuff. Okay, so that upload's pretty straightforward and doesn't really contain much more information than you saw before, so I'll skip it in the interest of time. It just says email, suggested directory, etc. One of the things that a person can do here is to I wonder what's going on out there. One of the things that a person can do is to enter more information than anybody could ever want to know if they're really keen on entering all kinds of things. License homepage. Sometimes packages have a homepage. Documentation on CTAN and documentation off CTAN. Sometimes people don't want to contribute documentation. They prefer to keep it on their local machine. Of course, then it goes away, but anyway, sometimes people want to do that. Keywords, that kind of stuff. Okay, so let me get out of there. Whoops. Okay, now I want to go back to the previous screen. Come on. There we go. So the author sends the material, and you remember that upload page there. The author sends the material packaged as a bundle, and then the contributor is editing from what's now in the database. We receive it, and what you get is that the email no longer goes to the three of us. Instead, the email goes to larger group of people who is all the information, just the usual information here. And down at the bottom here is a link that you can't read that says more information may be at. So there's a chance for people to look at more stuff. A program that runs periodically, that is a cron job, a program that runs periodically then unbundles the author's material, the .zip or .tar.gz, into a separate directory. Some of these things have some technical detail there that I don't necessarily want to get into. And what happens now is that somebody who uses a browser, they don't have to be a system administrator, somebody who's using a browser, logs into a website listing the uploads and claims the job. So let me do that. So back to my screen with the browser on it, and new bookmark. And again, this happens to be on my local host. HTTPS. So that means that you need a password to do this stuff. Not any idiot on the internet, and there are a lot of idiots on the internet, not any idiot on the internet can do it. I'll have Robin do it, because I happen to know his password. And what you see here is two separate things. This one I uploaded while Dick was talking, sorry Nick. This one here has been already unpacked by the periodic program, by the cron job, and this one that I just uploaded a few minutes ago has not yet been unpacked. So you can't do anything with it. It takes 10 minutes to unpack it. So let me grab this one. It's a pool ID is 10. That just means that 9 times before I did it wrong. So the uploader had a chance to say some stuff. Like, I don't know, sometimes uploaders want to say things like, don't do to this the same thing you did to the last one, or some such thing. The information about the file is listed here. I don't know why, but for some reason I decided to list it in XML. That was clearly a mistake, but anyway, I did that. And what you see is all the information that people typed in for the description and all that kind of stuff. I can edit that XML if I like. Oh, I'll change the description. How about make it a really big test? And it's a really big test. Your licenses and authors and all that kind of stuff, you can change all those. The authors are picked from a list. You don't type in the author's name, you pick the author from a list, if we know who the author is. You pick the author from a list, and that way the same person gets associated with however many packages they own. And that, again, surprisingly hard. I like to complain a lot. So it's surprisingly hard to get it right. Not that it's right yet. So here I am back at the upload page. How am I doing for time, Carl? What? Okay, good. And what I'm looking at now is this is the files as they were unpacked. So here's what was originally sent. I'll talk about this fella in a minute. And here's the files that were sent. Install test, clever name, it took me all day to think of that name. Install test.pdf and a readme. Next to the file names, you see it says edit, and what you can do with edit is you can add, subtract, multiply, or divide. You can delete it, rename it, all that kind of stuff. So for example, in this case, I want to rename this fella to have the name J.H. Try, and you'll see why in just a second. jhtry.tds, and I haven't done this in some time, so I hope it works. Ah, what do you know? And there it is, it's renamed. Okay, so the idea, oh, come on. Oh, I know why. Sorry about that. The idea is that all the stuff is over, all the stuff that we routinely do by hand is available over the web, so you can do it over the web by hand. That's the idea. So in other words, it doesn't require running a Unix system exposed to the internet to do it. You can read the PDF files and that kind of stuff. Now, you can't read them here because I don't have internet access. But anyway, you can read them, all that kind of stuff. Then you can decide where you want to install it. You want to take the file that happens to be sitting at this oddball location, and you want to install it to this spot in the tree. Now, you notice that that's been picked automatically. In particular, it's been misspelled automatically. You notice that it's been picked automatically, and the reason that it's picked automatically is that it came from the metadata. It came from up here. Where does it say location? Ah, there it is. CTAN, file equals false, zip equals false, path equals support, there. It came from there. So the metadata, the data about the package, and where you install it have to agree because the installation process is driven by the metadata. Right now, it's driven by, you know, me typing, and as you can see, I'm not a great typist. And the last part, I want to talk about this by going back to the previous screen. So as you see, I approved the metadata. And you eyeball the file layout. Now, the file layout can get surprisingly complicated. People who send you, for example, fonts, can send, you know, hundreds of files sometimes. Yeah, so surprisingly complicated. You can eyeball, you can make some changes. People sometimes, for example, I don't get the whole Mac thing. What's with the underscore, underscore, Mac? What is with that stuff? Anyway, those people send that stuff all the time, and then you got to delete it. So I'm sure it's very logical, I'm sure, but it doesn't make any sense to me. One thing that you see here in cyan there, isn't that cyan? Is that the program attempts to warn you of things that don't make sense. In this particular case, the file that I uploaded, the package metadata says that there's a README file in it. And the file I uploaded does not contain the package metadata says Carl thinks that there's a file in it called firstread.me. And there's no such file in here. There's a file called capital letters README that you can't read, but there's a file called capital letters README, but there's not this file here. So the system attempts to warn you that something is missing or something is bad or something is wrong, that kind of stuff. So, editor looks at the file tree, add, delete, or rename files, and I already showed you renaming a file. And then I come to the part of the talk that has resulted in the most hair pulling, and that's the TDS files. So as I said, the part that to me about the current process that doesn't make any sense is that we'll get an exciting package from somebody and we'll send it, we'll install it and then we'll send an announcement about it. And an average user has to know how to put it on their machine, sort of by magic. And sometimes some things like fonts, you can't. Right, ordinary humans can't do that. So you would have to wait for it to be packaged up, and that doesn't make any sense. So wouldn't it be nice if there was a script that we could call that would package up this material and have it in place for people to download at the time that we install everything else? And of course, there is a script. The Tech Live folks have a script that will see the word many there that will bring many packages, the great majority of packages. The great majority of upload packages. It does all the packages as they now sit, but of course people upload stuff and there's been changes to the package. So the great majority of upload packages from the form in which we get them over to a standard that you can just put into your system. Now, it's got some downsides, but I want to provide a bundle that would be called something like shadetheorem.tds.zip. At the time the contribution is installed. That's a regular zip file. When you unzip it, it's in this tech directory standard format. And users could at least unzip the files as they stand into their directory tree. Now, for a lot of folks that'll be too much. You know, even like logging in is too much, I understand. But it's at least something much better than we have now. Without much need for installation instructions. See, I said much need for installation instructions. You have to go to the local tech MF directory and unzip is basically what you have to do. Now, it doesn't integrate with a package manager. So it doesn't delete old files that may be interfering with what you need to do, but it's at least something. It's a step. Uploaders can include their own file if they want. That's great. If they do, then the program that unbundles their upload will grab it from the directory and pull it upstairs. Remember I pointed to a file that was upstairs? We'll pull it upstairs out of the way so that when you do an install, the tds.zip file doesn't get installed. And if somebody uploads their own bundle, then you can look inside and see what is in there now. Let me show you. See, that's the contents of the tds.zip file that I uploaded. And all, it's just the three files. Okay, so you look in there and see if it makes any sense at all. But the exciting part is that otherwise the install editor can just push a button and make a new one. So even if the uploader hasn't created one, the person who's doing the installation online through the web can push a button and in theory make a new one. That's a big theory. Let me try it. See, it says make a TDS file. So I pushed it, drum roll, and I didn't get an obvious failure. says see the results down here so you can have a look at what happened. And here's what happened. And Carl will be happy to explain to you what all these lines mean.
Actually, Sebastian.
Sebastian will be happy to explain to you what all these lines mean. But basically, they mean success. Yeah. Basically, they mean success, that it worked, that it created that file and packaged the material in some place that it thought was sensible. Let me go back. Oops, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to go back. The other thing that it will do, I wonder what day it is. The other thing that will do is it will take that material and place it in the TechLive, what would you call it, repository? The TechLive Subversion sandbox, in this case, my local sandbox. And I'll push that because I'm feeling brave today. That hasn't worked all that well lately. Oh no, Carl, you sent me an email saying that it did work. It looked like it didn't work. And let's have a look and see what happened to it. I'm sorry, say again. Come on, there we go, down there. Who knows what any of that stuff is. Yeah.
But that's okay.
All kinds of warnings, update the list of available web packages, all kinds of stuff, compare the files, actually, all this kind of stuff. So it worked. I just didn't know that it worked the first time I saw that, or the fifth time I saw that. Okay, so what's happened now is that I got this upload from a user, and over the web I'm able to do the great majority of things that I can do as a maintainer, that I now do by hand. I can add a couple comments here that says, you know, this package is mine, or some such thing. And then I can install it. Come on. Oh, thinking. It's usually bad when it thinks. That's often the case. So I'll get out of here and go back to my thing. Oops, an error has happened. I wonder what that means.
General error.
No, you know what it is, because I don't have access to the web, so it's trying to send an email to tell the editor's list that package has been done, and of course it can't send the email. So the bullet points are there that the files are installed in the regular place. The installation wraps the current script, Rainier script, that only it uses the metadata, so that guarantees that the metadata, the data about the package, and what we actually hold are consistent. A number of other things happen at the same time. The database of metadata gets updated, and so is the searchable documentation database. So in other words, it puts all the documentation files in the database, and in theory they'll be readable by a full text search. If there's a tds.zip file, then it's placed in the obvious place for bundles that's parallel to the other spot. So there, when a macro slot thatcontrib package ID, and the tds file goes in install macro slot thatcontrib package ID. The idea being there that some mirrors might not want to hold these TDS files because it'll add megs and megs and megs to what they have to mirror. And so they just leave out that install tree. They just don't hold that. We have to worry about mirrors a lot. And then the email that caused me to get a failure there a minute ago, the C10 list gets an email, and that email is written so that it could become an announcement just by stripping off the top. What you see there is that it says installed by me, only I actually really installed it by Robin. But anyway, it says installed by me, and then you make some comments, and then it says the package below has been installed at tub.c10.org, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Contains two things here. Contains a package overview, and also contains the announcement by the uploader. That's probably the most common complaint I get sort of from the field, not from, say, somebody in this room, but the most common complaint I get from average users is that I make an announcement to the Usenet, and I say the uploader has said, and the uploader will say something like, this package is even better than the last one, period. Well, you know, people write in and say, well, I have no idea what the last one did, which is perfectly fair. So what happens now is that it tells you down here what the last one did, and also tells you what the uploader said. So although it's fair, I ignore it. So. And then the last thing is that the TDS.zip bundle was placed for local keeping. In a local queue, and what that means is in the Subversion sandbox. And then from time to time, a program runs that tries to send it to him. So in theory, it'll appear done, and he doesn't have to do it, in theory. Just a comment or two, if I may. The material that comes in via FTP would go through the same installation process. The unpacker will unpack FTP uploads just as well. A comment, not every feature, I haven't described every feature of what appears. In particular, there's a way to submit changes to the metadata alone. In particular, the caution is that because it's experimental, probably some of what's above probably will be different when people see it. There might be some things that disappear. In particular, the TDS feature is, I think, has a lot of potential problems, but it has a lot of potential upsides too. So, in short, there's a lot of hurdles, but you know, I have code that at least runs a lot of the time. Even when I'm connected to the internet, it runs even more times. I want to make a comment or two about the programming, if I may, because I've been tearing my hair out for a while now. Sometimes people tell me that the technologies that are used for the system are routine, but I want to complain. Some of those people are in this room, and I want to complain that's not true in my opinion. It says down at the bottom, well, yes, it's a routine procedure if you routinely have someone slice open your body with sharp instruments and fiddle with your insides. That's the way I feel sometimes about XML parsers. And finally, the thing I started out the talk by talking about is that a person worries that the system has been around since 1992, and there's this tremendous amount of layers of hacks and kludges and things that we always do this way because one time in 1997 somebody wrote in and said you should do it that way. Here's this poor kid trying to get his turtle to jump through the flaming hoop. He says, through the hoop, Bob, through the hoop. That's the way I feel sometimes about trying to drag this system to do things that nobody envisioned in 1992 as even remotely possible. Okay. And of course, I'd like to thank some people. Carl, of course, I'd like to thank, and also Dante in particular for sponsoring. And there's somebody in the room that I'd like to thank who has helped me out a tremendous amount and doesn't even know it, and that's Martin. Because he has an umlaut in his name. My kids know now if they're up in the living room and they're trying to destroy all humans and they hear a shout from downstairs, you know, then they know. They say Martin Schroeder again, Dad. Yeah, Martin Schroeder. Okay. Any questions? A lot of the things are still there. We sometimes get requested to take them off. People will say, I put that up and I no longer want it up. Could you take it off? But most of the stuff that was ever there is still there. Taking it off is like taking something off is like a once every 6 months kind of thing.
Do you envision the TDS to be the way a normal everyday user is going to upgrade packages?
My understanding of the vision the whole vision thing, is that Carl will make it so that we'll make it so that there is some or folks will make it so that there is some format into which packages are put, and those packages will use some kind of graphical installer, just for example, a MikTek graphical installer. Yes, this is the potential vision. Yeah. And it would be great if we provided that package at the time the material was installed. Barbara?
I just want to thank all of you guys for doing a great job for so long.
Oh, thank you.
My life is made much easier because